On today's show, J.J. Redick calls the Houston Rockets organization dysfunctional, highlights a lack of structure, a lack of hierarchy, accountability, all of that. But then on the same day, Draymond Green compliments the Houston Rockets coaching staff and compliments their young core and some of the things that they are doing on a day-to-day basis. So which is it? We're going to unpack comments from both of those guys coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you listen to your podcasts, including YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Give me your thoughts right now or after the episode about what J.J. Redick had to say about the Houston Rockets, about what Draymond Green had to say about the Houston Rockets, all of that, let me know in the YouTube comments. But as always, thank you so much for making Locked On Rockets part of your day every single day, whether it's on the way to work, in the gym, on your lunch break. Thank you for making LOR part of your day. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Basketball GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NBA GM and managing your own basketball franchise, then this is the game that's for you. Download the game. Just visit ultimatebasketballgm.com or look it up on the App Store. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code Locked On, all caps, in the game store. Joining us now is your weekly co-host, none other than the Podfather himself, Rockets Wire editor and host of the Loggerline podcast, Ben DuBose. You can follow on Twitter at Ben DuBose. And Ben, we've got, I feel like this has become a recurring theme where throughout this entire season, we've got national pundits, other players, you know, sharing their thoughts, their feelings about what's going on here in Houston with the Rockets rebuild. And that does not change on today's episode, as we have some pretty, what I think are some pretty fair criticism and comments from J.J. Redick, and then also Draymond Green, who had some thoughts about the Houston Rockets and the state of affairs here in Houston after the Rockets-Warriors game, sharing his thoughts post-game. We're going to unpack what both of those guys had to say. So without further ado, we're just going to dive straight into what J.J. Redick had to say about the Houston Rockets.
Let me ask you about the last team before we wrap, who has had basically no hope all season, but has shown flashes in the last 2 weeks of at least being entertaining to watch, and that is the Houston Rockets. Jabari Smith in particular, 21-10 over his last five, buzzer beater. There's not a lot to like, but I think the argument about being bullish on them is twofold. A, they get the number one pick, and then they're going to be fun to watch regardless. Or B, they don't, but they start. Some of these guys, there's like, you love Tari Eason. Şengün, there's a lot to like. Backcourt is, you know, is what it is. You're grimacing right now.
I sometimes question whether you actually listen to me. Because there was a point earlier in this conversation where I said, what did I say about organizations and coaching staffs and all that stuff, how much it matters with young players. Houston's a mess. It's a mess. And I'm not denying the talent of their players. There's a difference to me between building towards winning basketball and the opposite of that, which is what the Houston Rockets are doing. And so, yeah, maybe they get Wembanyama. Not going to be happy about that. Just my take. Not going to be happy about that.
You don't think Şengün, you don't think Jabari Şengün, any of these guys, there's anything to be positive about?
Yeah. They're good players.
That's fair. I mean, it's hard. 29th in net rating right now, 27th in offense, 29th in defense. It is hard to put too much of a shine on what we've seen so far.
My question is like, and this is where I think Jamal Mosley and Orlando have been pretty good about this. It's like there should be a clear hierarchy on the team. There shouldn't be a scenario where a player doesn't get the basketball in the half court and puts his hands on his hips and walks around. There shouldn't be a scenario where it's my turn, your turn. There shouldn't be a scenario where it's clear from body language that one player doesn't like playing with another player, or one play, and then you're in a position where the guy that you've drafted third overall is literally swimming in the middle of the ocean with no life raft for an entire NBA season. And to me, that's what's happened with Houston. Now, whose fault is that? I don't know. I'm not in that locker room. I'm not around Coach Silas. I'm not with the, I'm saying all of this as an outside observer, but the evidence points to dysfunction.
Okay, Ben, so a lot to unpack there from what J.J. Redick had to say, but honestly, my immediate reaction to this, and I know we're going to unpack this a little bit further here in just a moment in segment two, because there was a lot to unpack there. I thought that J.J. was honestly pretty measured and fair in his criticism of the Rockets, all things considered, right? He clearly was calling out the coaching, the lack of structure and hierarchy. He points to the immense amount of talent that Houston has, and he highlights a lot of what we've been frustrated with this season, right? The your turn, my turn offense, the bad body language, Jabari often being uninvolved until, you know, up until very, very recently. And even then, they're still, it's kind of hit and miss depending on how much offensive involvement he truly gets in a given game. So I thought what he said was pretty accurate, all things considered.
Yeah, I'm honestly more interested in talking about the reasons why he said what he said and the timing than I am the substance of it. Because truth be told, it's the same discussion we've been having all season long. It's not that different than a month ago when we went into Zach Lowe and Jonathan Givony and their podcast comments. It feels like every week or two, there's someone around the league saying that something isn't right in Houston. And I find it really interesting that it came out on Monday of all days, because it was the same day that Draymond Green, after Monday night's Rockets Warriors game, went out of his way in his postgame comments, basically saying that there are these bad habits. But then he also made a point that he believes in Houston's coaching staff, and perhaps Draymond is self-motivated to say that, well, it's not the coaching staff's role. It should be veterans like me, by the way. I'm going to be a free agent, wink, wink, and whether he wants to go to Houston or just needs them as leverage. The bottom line is there's a reason for players, and it's the same with Austin Rivers, who went through his comments a couple of months ago, to make those types of assessments, and J.J. Redick is a former player himself. So I think it's interesting that J.J. and Draymond on the same day touched on the same theme, but came to different conclusions. Draymond saying it's not on the coaching staff, whereas with JJ, he went out of his way to mention Stephen Silas, and he drew the contrast between the Rockets and what Jamal Mosley is doing in Orlando with the Magic. And, you know, he didn't pin it all on Stephen. He left some wiggle room. But again, he went out of his way to make it clear that some of these are coaching issues, that the structure, the accountability, that's something that typically a head coach does. And I thought it was very interesting that you can have two respected people, very smart about the NBA, can look at Houston and say something's wrong here, but they come to sort of different conclusions. And I do think that sometimes it's very easy for us on social media to make things seem overly simplistic. We just search for one whipping boy or one source of our frustration, because in theory, that's so much easier to fix. If it's all the fault of one thing, then okay, you fix that thing and there's your path forward. Whereas here, you know, I respect both JJ and Draymond Green. I think they're smart people, but the fact that they come to sort of different conclusions on how you handle it, to me, it just hints at the fact that this is a complicated issue. And I also think it's interesting the timing of it that, again, JJ said it right after the other guy on the podcast mentioned that the Rockets have been playing better the last couple of weeks. So the fact that even after this stretch of ball where they're 5-5, 3-2, JJ is still somewhat skeptical on this organization, it tells you, at least from a PR, a narrative standpoint, just how much of a hit the Rockets have taken during this rebuild. So I find it interesting on a few levels as far as what JJ said, not just in terms of, I guess, the specifics of it, because we've heard the arguments before, but the timing of it and the context I find very, very interesting.
Yeah, the timing of it was super weird. Coming up, let's further unpack what J.J. Redick had to say, and kind of, again, comparing and contrasting that to what Draymond Green had to say about the Rockets. We're going to get to his comments a little bit later on in the show, the timing of it all, and whether or not the Rockets have done albeit maybe some irreparable damage to their image kind of in the face of the NBA. We're going to get there in just one moment. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Basketball GM. I'm really excited by our new partner and sponsor of today's episode, the mobile game Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NBA GM and managing your own basketball franchise, then this is the opportunity you've been waiting for. Manage every strategic aspect of your team through an NBA season and lead your team to glory. You'll be responsible for hiring the right coaches and assistants, trading and training players, making draft picks, navigating your franchise through free agency, the draft, and all the ups and downs of a season. All this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Pro Basketball GM is completely free and playable offline. Play on the go as you want to and when you want to. Me and the other Locked On hosts, we've already created our own little league. We talk trash every single day. We're all super hooked on this game, and you can check it out. Locked On Rockets listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when you use promo code Locked On in the game store, so make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit ProBasketballGM.com, scan the code, or look it up on the App Store. That's ProBasketballGM.com. Ultimate Basketball GM. Start your dynasty today. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, I do agree, Ben. I think the timing of the J.J. Redick piece is interesting, even a little bit frustrating, honestly. I went out of my way to say it does sting a little bit hearing these comments, hearing these thoughts from J.J. immediately after the Rockets actually had a pretty strong week, right? They went 3-1 this past week. Then obviously they had this, you know, the second loss to the end of the homestand loss against the Warriors. But it does kind of draw maybe some worry where you're thinking, okay, like there's very clearly a perception that is now following the Rockets amongst national media. Now, I don't think should happen is there is a tendency from Houston fans, Rockets fans, whatever, to want to immediately ball up and take whatever any national media pundit says, crumple it up and throw it in the wastebasket. And I get that, right? We've got years of evidence throughout the James Harden era and even before that, where the national media has, you know, oftentimes painted Houston in a negative light, has not had great things to say about the city of Houston, all that. So I get it. There is a bit of frustration there.
Except when it's Bill Simmons, you can throw that out.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Let's just draw a distinction there. For sure. Right. But with that, I do think it's worthwhile at least contemplating why so many of these national guys all share the same viewpoint. And like you alluded to before, you've got different guys like a J.J. Redick, like a Draymond Green, who share some of the same concerns, but somehow come to different conclusions about what exactly the issue is in Houston, right? Is it coaching? Is it Kevin Porter Jr.? Is it the locker room culture? Is it because they've got a bunch of youth? Is it because they don't have veterans? It feels like nobody can land on one specific reason why things are the way that they are in Houston.
Yeah, and I find it very interesting. We use the terms micro and macro a lot in that, you know, we talk about the game by game and then we do the 30,000 foot view, we zoom back. And for the most part, the micro discussions have been depressing this year. And yet I was actually really excited for this week's pod because this is one of the few times that the micro is fun. Look, this month, they're 5-5. They did have the 3-game winning streak. Jabari Smith Jr. is having his breakout. Jalen Green has been more efficient. I also think since he came back from his injury with the groin, he's been much more committed on defense. The lapses have been reduced. Steven Silas has talked about his team getting more mature, responding to adversity better. I really feel like February was the bottoming out. Those two losses in Oklahoma City where they were just completely uncompetitive, Damian Lillard scoring 71. I feel like that was where things really bottomed out. And then once Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. came back, it felt like, especially Jalen, that he was taking more ownership. And I guess KPJ as well, because he's kept the turnovers down. But it felt like there was much more, okay, this is unacceptable. We've got to step up. And I do think that while not perfect, it's not like they're the most talented team, not even close. They're also very young. There has been progress the last few weeks. We are seeing growth on lots of fronts, and especially the two biggest names in the organization, Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr., they've both taken steps forward. And yet, we have a day like yesterday in which it feels like most of us are much more positive about the team. Even these two recent losses, again, they're circumstances. The Warriors and Pelicans are both playing for potential playoff positioning. The Rockets were on a back-to-back. There was no Alper and Şengün against the Warriors. Jalen Green dropped an efficient 40 against the Pelicans. They really made him work against the Warriors. Night two of a back-to-back, again, no Şengün. And yet the Rockets were still right there in the middle of the second half tied.
Also no Jayshon Tate.
Yeah, fair point. And it feels like, at least here in Houston, that things are getting better. And yet nationally, you see those takes come out, even when, you know, JJ's co-host or whoever he was doing the pod with, it felt like was actually prompting him to say something positive about the Rockets, talking about how the last couple of weeks have been very encouraging on a few fronts. And yet JJ did not take the bait. And it's a reminder that, fair or unfair, perception wise, look, the last couple of years and the depths to which the Rockets have sank during this 3-year rebuild tank, whatever you want to call it, it can have an impact. And if you truly believe in your internal core as all that matters, that that's enough for you in your rebuild, then maybe it doesn't matter. But that's not the case here in Houston. A big part of the rebuild, we've talked about it ad nauseum, is this give or take $60 million in cap room this summer that the Rockets are going to have. There's a decision they can make with Steven Silas and the coaching staff, because of course he doesn't have any guaranteed money according to reports owed to him after this season. So on multiple fronts, the Rockets could be on the market. Being seen as desirable by free agents, by coaches, whoever it may be, is a big part of the rebuilding plan. It's not just that, well, we have enough prospects already that just give it a couple more years and things are going to be fine. No, it's about pairing the prospects you have now with additions externally. And in terms of whether you can do that, fair or unfair, these perceptions of your franchise can play into the thinking. And so it is just a little bit of a sobering reminder that even in a month in which it feels like there's clearly progress, March has been a lot better than February. This is the best I've seen the Rockets consistently play in some time. Look, there's a lot of damage, and it takes a lot to truly undo some of the narratives that have been set in place, fair or unfair. Reality is people around the NBA are saying this. So even if we disagree, there is potentially some relevance as you head into free agency and potentially a head coaching cycle as well. And I just think that with the JJ comments in particular, he's not someone that throws out hot takes. He's typically very measured. So for him to have these comments, it tells you that, you know, he just didn't pull it out of thin air. He's talking to other people who probably have these same types of opinions. I also think, by the way, that this is where another reason that James Harden could be uniquely valuable to the Rockets, in that because of Harden's ties to the franchise and the city, he's someone that might give the Rockets a benefit of the doubt in ways that other free agents might not. There might be a Rockets tax, if you will, to deal with some of these perceived issues.
Can I draw a parallel there for you? Sure. Because one of the things that we were discussing off camera before we hit record is you brought up the parallel of what's going on with the Rockets to the Phoenix Suns of old, right? How it took them going 8-0 in the bubble to be able to, you know, make that leap and then also be able to bring in a Chris Paul, a Jay Crowder, and suddenly be catapulted back into relevance. I think similar to that, right, having Monty Williams was that pre-existing relationship with Chris Paul, to where Chris Paul was looking at the Suns and, okay, they went 8-0, they've got Monty, that's the spot where I think I can go be impactful, right? So James Harden's previous ties to the organization, very similar in that regard. And, you know, I don't know, but at this point, with the damage that has been done, I don't know if the Rockets, you know, going on a win streak here to end the season be enough to kind of erase the past 3 years, if you will.
Not unless it's something drastic, like the Suns going 8-0. It can't be, you know, a 5-5 stretch. It has to be something that's just absolutely stunning. Like, you know, a sustained winning streak in which your net rating is top 10 in the league. And I just don't know that that's realistic to expect on any level. I just think that the Steven discussion is so complicated, because I do think that the problems with the organization, again, perception-wise, but still, it's more than just what Steven can control. I'm not trying to throw Steven under the bus. It just so happens that with him not owed any money, that's a very easy fix that you can potentially make in the offseason, especially if you bring in a name that's more proven as a head coach and might bring more instant respect and credibility.
And even from a PR perspective, right? It's not firing Steven. It's, hey, we've just agreed to part ways, right? He was at the end of his deal. He's not owing any more money. It was time to move on, right?
Yeah, and that's why, to me, it's just a sobering reminder that even a stretch like this, where you go 5-5, you have a 3-game winning streak in there, and you still get hit with comments like these, it's a reminder of just how high the bar is to really turn things. You need something big, like, you know, an 8-10 game streak, or say in the offseason, signing James Harden or getting a big name coach. It takes something bigger than just, you know, incremental progress. And, you know, the Suns, I can remember back in 2020, there was a lot of people mocking, you know, the NBA expanding the bubble to 22 teams, saying, why the hell do the Suns need in there? And next thing you know, they go 8-0, they almost get in the playoffs. And before you know it, people realize that Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, they're right on the cusp. And that, I guess, incentivizes Chris Paul even more to want to go there. You mentioned the connection he had with Monty Williams, but it took something drastic to really put them on the map when they had been for years in a rebuild sort of analogous to where the Rockets are now. Now, I know they had shown a few signs that season, but certainly nowhere close. You know, the thinking was not in May and June of 2020 that they were right on the cusp of something. It just sort of happened with those 8 games in the bubble and then Chris Paul right after that. And then there comes the leap. And I just think at this point, it's a reminder of just how much of a challenge it's going to be from a PR perspective. And that's why you need something drastic. Maybe you get really lucky to close this season and a winning streak like what the Suns had could do it. But more realistically, even if you play a little bit better, it's probably not going to be enough in terms of making the organization desirable to the extent that the Rockets and Rafael Stone clearly want it to be. That's clearly a pillar of the rebuild. It's not just draft picks. It's not just internal development. It's pairing it with people you bring in externally to supplement this young core. Then you are going to have to improve the image of this organization. And while it's not all Steven's fault, not even close, I think Steven was dealt a bad hand. I do think he's done a good job of coaching in the last month. It just so happens that that's a pretty easy way that you can start to change your image a little bit heading into an offseason that it really matters. It might not matter as much if the Rockets didn't have $60 million in cap room, give or take, and they were just, you know, basically going to run it back next year with the same young guys. Then, yeah, maybe it'd be easy to say, let's just pick up Steven's option, see what happens, punt it back a year and reevaluate in 2024. But with all that cap room this summer and approaching a pivot point in which your desirability on the market could, you know, swing you one way or the other, then it does just sort of underscore the dynamics that have led many of us all season long, including, I think, both of us, to think that it's going to be tough for Steven to keep his job. Not saying that necessarily that's deserved, but just in terms of predicting what's going to happen, I think that's what sort of guided our thinking all year long. And these latest comments are just a reminder of that.
Yeah, it's hardly ever. Again, we try to get into some of the nuance here at Locked On Rockets because it's hardly as ever black and white as like Twitter would have you believe or social media, or whatever. There's always a bit of gray area, and it's not all Steven's fault. But coaching is the area that tends to get upgraded. Mike Malone might be out this season as the Nuggets head coach, and he's a phenomenal head coach. But if they don't get it done, if they don't have a deep playoff push, if they don't make, you know, maybe a finals trip this year, all the reporting is showing that Mike Malone might be out. Doc Rivers might be out in Philly if he doesn't make something happen this year with potential MVP Joel Embiid and James Harden and that supporting cast. Like, head coaches get replaced constantly for much more. Yeah.
Mike D'Antoni was let go by the Rockets after 2020 when I thought that was arguably his best season of all in Houston, integrating Russ. Look at what Russ has looked like in the 3 years since. The job that MDA did that year was phenomenal. And yet the Rockets still decided it was time to move on. So it's not just throwing him under the bus. I like that you make that point. It's more just a confluence of factors. And that's just a sort of easy way to sort of transition to the next phase for the Rockets. But it's not necessarily that's going to fix it. As we were saying in the first segment, it's interesting that JJ and Draymond, who I know we're going to talk about in a few minutes in segment three, came to different conclusions about how to fix it. That should be a reminder that it's not so simple as, well, there's just this one player or one coach that's clearly the problem and you fix it and you get better. No, it's just sometimes those can be the easier things to try. And then you see what happens after you make that move.
Coming up, we're getting into Draymond Green's comments. He had some negatives and some positives about the Houston Rockets in the aftermath of the Rockets-Warriors game. We're going to get there in just one moment. But first, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. We're in the final stretch of the NBA season, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't pay out. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers, three-pointers drained, different award winners, Sixth Man of the Year, MVP. You can take a look at the finals odds right now over at FanDuel. The Milwaukee Bucks, plus 290 favorites to win the NBA title. title this season. The Boston Celtics at plus 320, Phoenix Suns at plus 650, and then rounding out the top five, you have the Denver Nuggets at plus 750, and the Philadelphia 76ers at plus 900. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. So after tackling what JJ Redick had to say about the Houston Rockets and kind of teasing up some of the comments that Draymond Green had about Houston in his post-game presser after the Rockets-Warriors game Monday night, let's dive in, because Draymond had, you know, he did have some criticism for what's going on, but then he also had some positives about the Rockets coaching staff and what they're doing, the growth and development of some of the guys. So let's play those clips back-to-back here.
Of competing for the playoffs.
Not build bad habits. You get in a certain situation and it's very easy to build bad habits. But habits are hard to break. So you build bad habits and it kind of becomes who you are. It's important to try to play the right way. I think they're well coached. Look at the coaching staff over there. Steven, who's been around the game his whole life. Lionel Hollins, who's coaching the Grizzlies when I came to the league, been around the game a very long time. An NBA game in particular, very long time. John Lucas, very, very long time. So they have a great coaching staff. And I think it's just important that with a young group, with no veteran leadership really, it's important that they hear those coaches, you know, because they know the NBA game in and out, been doing it for a long time. And you know, it's sometimes you need a veteran to kind of relay the message the coach is trying to say. They don't have that luxury. And so I think it's just important for them to continue to listen to what those guys are saying, because it'll determine the way their careers go. You know, I think they're doing a pretty good job. Like, you can hear the conversation. I was listening to a conversation today between Tari and I think KJ. And like the things that they're saying, you're listening to them, and like they're trying to figure it out. And I was very intrigued by the conversation. Like, he's like, oh, but if, you know, I could have scrammed him out, you know, but the guy was low. And he's like, yeah, well, if you can get over there. And like the whole conversation, I thought it was very interesting to hear two relative, I mean, one rookie and KJ's what, in his second or third year, to hear them talking through things like that. You know, they're well coached because they're, what they're working through is actually the right thing to do. Like, you got a small guard stuck on a big. He's talking about kicking him out and getting him to the weak side. And we actually got fouled on that play. So his thinking was right. He was trying to figure out how to get to it. And so just to hear that conversation, you know, the coaching staff is doing a good job. And it feels like they're listening. And that'll be key to the direction their careers will.
Okay, so first, it always feels weird to playing Draymond Green back on a Rockets podcast. Feels like it should be a cardinal sin that it has been committed. But Draymond with some great insight. I will say, right, just to preface this, Draymond is one of the smartest basketball players to ever play the game. Like, when you hear him break down the game and actually like explaining, okay, this is what's happening, or like, I love his insight as a basketball player and as somebody who knows the game through and through. It's always fun to see him break stuff down. And, you know, I can get into the frustrations, and clearly he was part of the Warriors team that denied the Rockets a title. Like, that part still stings. But it was also funny to hear some of the way that he talked about this Rockets team, right? So he's complimentary of the coaching staff. And I know you alluded to this earlier, Ben, but it almost felt like he was very much harping on the point of they don't have veterans, right? They don't have veterans to relay the message, to help teach these kids, you know, to help kind of cement what the coaching staff is trying to teach them. And it very much was like a big neon sign pointing at him, like, I'm going to be a free agent veteran. Do you want to maybe pay me the bag to like come to Houston and I'll relay the message for you?
Just like Austin Rivers with his comments a couple of months ago. Shocker, exactly. He's going to be on the market. And so there is some self-motivation for sure when guys like that make those comments. And hey, it's not just about the coaches, wink, wink. That's a part of my value equation as well. Next time I'm on the market, regardless of whether the player actually wants to go to Houston, regardless, knowing that Houston has $60 million in cap room, that's really useful leverage for him no matter what, if a team like that potentially has interest and is willing to make him a good financial proposal. look, aside from that angle, I think, you know, it's interesting. We talked about J.J. Redick appearing to point the finger at Steven Silas, at least to some degree, and Draymond going out of his way in these comments the same day or close to the same day. We don't know exactly when the Redick podcast was taped, but the fact is they're in close proximity and Draymond is going out of his way to praise the coaching staff. Of course, he knows Lionel Hollins and Steven Silas is well respected around the league. We've talked about that before. We've heard good praise of him from players like LeBron and Luka and Steph that he's worked with in the past. So that comes to no surprise. I think one way that these could be blended together, just as we talk about the day-to-day and the big picture, the micro versus the macro with the season as a whole, I think that's also true with how you can evaluate coaches. It's not as simple in most cases as is Steven Silas or any coach good or bad. There's different areas. And so it's very possible, for example, that the coaching staff is doing a very fine job in some areas, such as, for example, the X's and O's communication. He went out of his way to talk about the communication between Tari and KJ, the awareness, knowing where they should be, how they should work together in terms of their team defense and their willingness to talk to one another is very encouraging. It's possible that the coaching staff could be very positive in that regard and pushing them in the same direction, while simultaneously there could be problems that are more bigger picture oriented. For example, at times this season, and we haven't always agreed, but, you know, Jackson, you've made the case with Jabari Smith Jr. Should they be running more plays for him? And, you know, it's a bit of a chicken or the egg when we talk about, well, should they wait for him to make more shots before doing that? But regardless, it's a fair argument you can make. We've also talked about Alperen Sengun's place in the hierarchy, and especially the first half of the season, should they be running more offense through him? And so I think it is worth noting there's some nuance to all of this. It's not just, is Steven good or bad? No, he can be, I guess, below average in some areas and above average in others. And so I think, I guess, trying to piece everything together from JJ and Draymond, it could be very possible that there's some things that the Silas administration, big picture, is not necessarily doing well in terms of culture, accountability, whatever you want to call it. Now, of course, it could run well beyond Steven, in fairness to him. I mean, there's lots of places you could potentially point the finger, just saying that's an argument you could make. And at the same time, it's not like, well, if you're out on Steven, that means he's just a terrible coach and has no idea what he's doing. That's the oversimplification that social media and blogs tend to do. No, he could actually, and the coaching staff could be very productive in other areas, such as, you know, teaching the X's and O's, the fundamentals, the little things that can drive, I guess, month over month improvement, like we've seen in March relative to February for the Rockets. So that's the way I look at it, is that it's a reminder that even if, you know, we tend to harp on the negatives of a guy like Steven Silas simply because, again, he's somewhat of an easy scapegoat, if you will, an easy lever to pull when we talk about potential changes in the offseason as the team tries to transition with all the cap room, the draft incentive with the picks going to Oklahoma City, basically transition back to trying to win next year. It's an easy lever to pull, but it's not necessarily as simple as saying, well, you do that, it's all free and easy from this point forward. No, there's a lot of layers that got the Rockets to where they are now, the bad habits. I think that's the rot of losing, as Matt Moore, HP Basketball, has said over and over again. And the more I watch the Rockets, you know, the biggest thing that's changed this month is that they've just been more consistently competitive. A lot of the bad habits really creep into play when you see the Rockets go through a stretch in which they fall behind 15 or 20. You see the shoulder slump. Here we go again. And they just mentally check out and say that this is not our night. I think that's happened less this month. Although I will say, by the way, Sunday against the Pelicans, that was a good example of a case where they could have done that, in which they fell behind by 20 early on. It looked like it wasn't their night. And yet, led by Jalen Green, of all people, they fought back. So maybe, you know, that is growth.
And they fought back against the Warriors, too. I mean, they were down 15 in the fourth quarter, and they cut back to 7 until Clay hit the three.
So maybe there is growth. And the coaching staff deserves some credit for keeping these guys bought in. Say what you will about the Silas administration, but they are still fighting. This is a team that's certainly not checked out. I mean, you can look to other teams around the NBA that are tanking much harder than the Rockets are, and some people may not like that. But the reality is, in terms of what the coaching staff can control, yeah, these guys are bought in, and that speaks well to them. And I just think it's a reminder that even if we agree that Steven is probably likely to go after this season, and I personally would support it, I think the Draymond comments are fair, in that, you know, there are things the coaching staff is objectively doing well, and there are some of these bad habits that, quite frankly, run deeper than any coach, even Greg Popovich, hypothetically, could control. And so it's just, again, I guess the best way to sum it all up, it's just a little bit of a sobering reminder that even though the Rockets have shown signs of late, the issues that have gotten them to where they are now and the things they're trying to fix in the offseason, it's not going to be easy. There's a lot of layers to it, and it's not just as simple as saying one player or one coach, well, this is the problem, and then you get rid of them, and all of a sudden, snap your fingers, it's all good. No, it's tricky, and I think the Draymond comments were very fair.
You know what? I think Draymond's podcast numbers might have been dipping, and he just wanted to tap into the Houston marketplace. So he was like, "You know what? I'm gonna give some positivity," and then he gets everybody, you know, tuning into his pot. No, I'm kidding. But
no, if he wanted to raise his numbers, he would just bring Daniel House on this podcast.
Oh, there we go. That sends the numbers into orbit. Yep. I would take if things don't work out and the Rockets can't get James Harden this offseason, I would take Draymond on a 1+1 deal. I would take him the overblown deal, you know, 45, 50 million, whatever, 1 year deal where you know that he's going to be gone the second year. So he gets a quick little payday. He comes in, he can teach guys like Jabari, Tari, all of them how to play, right? Be that veteran voice on the court.
And I think he would embrace the challenge. I think where the Rockets tax would come into play, that's what I mentioned earlier. And to elaborate a little bit on that, what I'm saying is that because of the Rockets situation, teams or players around the league, I should say, might ask for a lot more money to play for Houston than they would somewhere else, simply because it's viewed as such a bad situation. And it's not easy to pull yourself out when you've sunk to the depths that the Rockets have the last couple of seasons. Draymond's a guy who is so confident in himself, and he makes these comments because he believes, rightly or wrongly, he certainly believes that he has some of the answers, that he knows what it takes. And in fairness to him, he's won several championships. He's been a huge contributor to the most dominant NBA team of our generation. So we may not like him, but let's give credit where credit's due. And I think he's the type of guy, he has a level of awareness that he might actually embrace that challenge. And in that situation, say, hey, even though this isn't going to be easy, you know, he's not going to run from the grind, to use the, you know, the phrase that we see on social media all the time. No, I think he's somebody that would actually embrace the grind, as opposed to some of these guys that aren't Harden might sort of shy away because they look at the Rockets, how young they are, all the bad habits that he's referencing, and say, you know what, unless they give me a bag, and maybe not even then, I'd rather go somewhere else because I don't want to deal with it. No, I think Draymond's the kind of guy who would go into it with, you know, eyes wide open, knowing what the challenge is and embracing it as someone who can help them reach that next level and offset some of those bad habits that he was referencing.
On that note, Ben, you know the drill. Let everybody know where they can track you down at.
Yep. Ben Dubose on Twitter, the RocketsWire on Twitter, the Loggerline on Twitter, and RocketsWire.usatoday.com for all of your daily Houston Rockets news coverage.
That's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Rockets. As always, thank you so much for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms. We're also available on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Drop your thoughts on what JJ Redick and Draymond Green had to say about the Houston Rockets. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.